is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another very special episode of the Lazarus Pit here on the Heroes for Hire podcast Patreon. I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, we are back again with another month of movie madness.
Is it movie madness? I think I went a bit mad listening to or watching this movie, even. If this is your first pelt that you've ever experienced, we draw a movie out with a hat. We talk about that movie after watching it, and yes, we see whether or not it holds up. This month, the hat was especially cruel. A lovely treat last month, Connor. Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. One of the finest comic book productions there's ever been.
Do you know when a movie gets pulled out of the hat that's been recommended by all of our lovely patrons? Normally they're bastards, I will say this straight up. But
we're still sore about Wild Mountain Time, if anyone's worried about that. Still a bit pissed off.
They know what movies we don't like and they always recommend them. But, for example, this month. But what also happens is, like last month, we pull out Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. I say, I've seen that movie 50 times. It's one of my faves. I can talk about that all day. This movie in particular, we pulled out X-Men The Last Stand. Now, this is a movie I haven't seen since probably 2007, maybe?
See, this is the issue, because I've seen this movie about 15 times.
Oh no.
Because this was the first pirated DVD I ever bought.
The cops are going to get you.
I remember, I think a guard sold it to me.
I remember, a guard is a cop, by the way, in Ireland.
Yeah, sorry. I remember vividly because it had one of the weird, really thin DVD cases that you used to get.
Real bad.
And it was an A4 piece of paper with Wolverine printed on it. Folded into the case.
I love the idea of, like, you walking up to the policeman, he just opens his coat, he's just got non-stop Wolverine designs on the fucking inside. Do you know what it is, boy, huh?
Just the big Jackman stand. There was real steel in there, you know, it was a triumph.
So, it was Hugh Jackman. look, this movie, we all know that this ended the original trilogy. So the story behind this is, of course, first X-Men comes out, it's a big hit. Second X-Men comes out, it's excellent. X-Men 2 still holds up.
Yeah, still great.
What's really interesting about this time in cinema is, like, this is 2 years before Iron Man and the Dark Knight. And it's the year before Spider-Man 3 comes out. Fox owns superhero movies. Like, X-Men was gigantic back then. They were making shit tons of money off these movies.
Yeah, and these movies also had the effect of, like, they changed how the comics were written and sold and marketed. They were that popular.
And this is so funny to look back now, because Fox is now owned by Marvel. But back then, Marvel hadn't brought Iron Man. They hadn't brought anything. Fox is like, we're top of the pile. Yeah. Nobody's near us.
Coming off of this, you had, like, the Marvel thing that was before this was Ang Lee's Hulk in 2005.
Yeah. No, that's 2003, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think that might be 2003.
2003, whatever. Still shit. It's the less superior Incredible Hulk film.
Not a big, you know, rating. What's better than one pile of shit? Another pile of shit.
But yeah, like, Marvel didn't have the chokehold over the comic book movie world that it has now.
And you know what's funny is Batman Begins came out the year before this.
That's what came out in 2005. That's what I'm thinking of.
And the fact that this movie came out the year after is hilarious, because they were like, yeah, this is going to do it. This is the one.
We're going to. Perfect trilogy, I think is what they call it. What's also
interesting is the director of the first two movies, Bryan Singer. Now also known as a bit of a bastard.
Bryan Singer.
Back then, he was a big deal. And they had him for the first two, and he was doing very well. And then DC came along and said, do you want to do Superman Returns? And he said, absolutely, I don't fucking like X-Men at all. Fuck off. And so he left after number two. Because he wanted to work on a movie he actually liked, which was Superman. And in doing that, he also then decided, well, I can't just go alone. James Marsden, who's Cyclops, you're coming across too, boy.
Leader of the team of X-Men? Yeah, You want to play some guy in Superman Returns?
He's playing Perry White's nephew. I think.
We talked about all of this, by the way. We did a Superman Returns review, and we're fascinated by what is James Marsden doing in that movie.
Like, he's Cyclops in the movie, and he's like, nah, I'm going to be Perry White's nephew, fuck this.
What they did, they took Cyclops out of the X-Men during the Dark Phoenix storyline.
So, what's also interesting is you've got Simon Kinberg and Zach Penn, who wrote the script for this movie. And we haven't gone to director yet. I'm going to introduce him soon, Sean. So, Bryan Singer's gone.
Yeah.
Kinberg and Penn are working on this third movie, because the second one did so fucking well. And they're like, right, we want to do the Dark Phoenix saga. That's a big deal. People love that story in the comic books. I mean, it's the third movie. We're printing money.
It's the only Jean Grey story there is, as far as any comic book fan is concerned.
And so, like, they're like, this is perfect. We're going to do this. Fox says, hang on. We don't like that. It's a bit fucking convoluted. It's a bit long. It's a bit confusing. I don't want to get into it, but we're going to do the Cure storyline instead. And so the studio says they want to do the Cure storyline. Kinberg and Penn go, we want to do Dark Phoenix. What happens then is they amalgamate the two. Because
they reach a compromise and decide to quarter-ass both stories.
Yeah, they're like, why don't we just do both bad? And so they decide, as I said, to do both. And so then they're like, right, we need a director. Now we've got the script out. We're going to do it half and half. We're taking out Cyclops, don't need him. We're going to just, that's what we have. But we've got Hugh Jackman. So, I mean, this is all this movie is. And so then they bring in the Rat. Brett Ratner.
Brett the Rat Ratner.
Now, he is also director of some of my favourite movies when I'm 15, of Which Rush Hour more. And Rush Hour 2.
Yeah. Like, it's worse when they have things that you enjoy and they're a bastard.
Now, he's a known bastard. Like, known outright bastard.
Like, famously a bastard.
A bad, bad man. Also, bad at directing. And just in general, just a bad... cinematographer.
Just a bad human. Everything he tries, he's a dickhead.
And so they drag Brett in. Brett's like, I've got this, lad. Singer's after setting this up lovely. All I have to do is coast into the finish line to end this trilogy. And so they put out this movie, Sean, and a general overview that you should know is that they spent $210 million on this film.
This was, at the time of its release, this was the most expensive film made to date, I believe.
Which is amazing, because it looks like fucking shit.
It looks
Every
so
green
bad.
Screen is atrocious. Everything looks fake. It just is, where did the $210 million go? I don't know.
Presumably, like, maybe the cast? Like, that they are just, like, they had to pay them more money? Because there, it is a big cast. There are a lot of people in this and a lot of action set pieces.
But I would say the last cast also was pretty big for X-Men 2, but they looked better. Like, the graphics looked better.
The graphics. Yeah, the gameplay is great, but the graphics.
You know, well, I mean, if half of this looks like a video game, Sean, if we're honest, a PS2 video game.
A 2006 era PS2 video game, absolutely. The thing about it is, part of me had fond memories of watching this as a kid. Clearly, I was stupid. Because.
True.
This movie doesn't do anything.
Yes! This is actually my key point I wanted to get to in this review, is that I said when we came onto this call before we started recording, I said, I hope you have strong opinions, because I didn't follow it up. I'm notting this movie. This is the most notting movie.
No. Like, you're not even along for the ride. Things are happening and you might watch if you're bored.
Like, it's trying to appeal to 50 different audiences, but appealing to nobody. And I'm just sitting there going, it's not even so bad that it's good. And it's not even terrible. It's just so boring and just so pointless.
And there's no reason it should be, because if even if some of the elements from any of the comic book stories you're pulling from, even if some of those were adapted well, it would be an interesting watch. Like, fucking, like, oh my God. So, there is a scene, right, in this movie where, like, Holocaust survivor Magneto is telling people, like, to, is basically fighting for mutant freedom.
Yeah.
And that should be a whole big thing. And they just, like, he has no, nothing that he's gone through in his life comes up in that discussion at all. It's just, oh, he's just, we're just going to jab him with the fucking cure and it'll
like
be fine.
Like, the difference between this and, say, the start of X-Men 1, when you see him in the camp.
Yeah.
And it's like the child crying in the rain at the fucking fence that's all barbed wire. Like, a night and day between just like, in this one, it's just like, it wants to hit on that story beat, but Brett doesn't have time to, you know, ever explore it or even maybe think about how that affects these people. It's like, well, that's the story beat. We'll get to that. But also, look over here. We've got this shiny shit
over here. Speaking of time, crisp hour and 45 minutes, this movie.
Yes. And I mean, I suppose one good thing is it does fly sometimes, just in terms of, because nothing is happening and nothing means anything, it just skims.
Yeah. And in, like, this, for being the finale of the trilogy, I think it's the one that has stuck around least in terms, like, in terms of the movies afterwards, what was talked about and addressed. This movie doesn't, like, the Wolverine. Yeah, like, all the Cure stuff is definitely forgotten. There's a bit of Dark Phoenix stuff in the Wolverine, but that's about it.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, it all comes back to, with any of these movies, especially in the early 2000s, is it's Hugh Jackman. But I mean, that's not just an early 2000s X-Men movie problem. That's everyone. That's not to say anything about Hugh Jackman. His problem is he's actually too talented and too charismatic in his role.
That is true, which I think is why when he ends up in, like, Days of Future Past, it's balanced really well, because you have Fassbender beside him just doing the same shit and just being the coolest guy in the room.
And this is so, I could not get over just how much this movie tries to make him just so much better than everyone. But that's fine. You can make a character really cool, but it's at the detriment of everybody else in the team. So everybody else's personality has to be schoolteacher, so Wolverine looks cooler. But the X-Men in the comic books, it works because they're all different. They're all cool in their own ways, and everyone has different favourites. Whereas this one, you don't really get a choice.
No, you like, if you don't like Wolverine, tough shit in this movie, because no one else has any, like, character about them.
And I think the best example is, I mean, there's a funeral in this scene, everybody's wearing black, and everybody's the same, and obviously everyone's a bit sad, and then he looks over to the side, and he's smoking a cigar in his blue shirt, and it's just, it's the best encapsulation of, he's not with them. Like, they're all a bit sad, they're all a bit whingy over there, crying over Professor X. He's the cool hero over here.
He's gonna get things done.
And look, I think we should get into it. I don't know if we're gonna go exact scene for scene, because, I mean, who gives a shit?
I don't have it in me for this one.
We just generally go through it and just, where did it go wrong, Sean? Where did it get right?
It misses the mark straight away for me once I see the work. Like, I know it was 2006, but the de-aging on Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen in this, it's horrendous.
What's worse? I have a question. What's worse? De-aging in this for Patrick Stewart or de-aging in Origins?
Oh, the Origins one is worse, because it should have been better by all accounts. They had, like, more years of technology behind them. But, like, Patrick Stewart in 2006, you put a bit of makeup on that man and he looks 10 years younger. Like, same.
Patrick Stewart, for as long as my whole life, I think he's looked the same.
Yeah, the only time he looks old is when he's in Logan, when they make him look old and sick.
Because most of the time he looks like, I just assume he's like Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Back to the Future. So Back to the Future, he's like, He's like 27, but he looks 55, and now he's 55. He just looks 55.
Yeah, like he's like, either 30 or 80. Like, we're not quite sure.
Like, Stewart has just looked 30 his whole life since, like, 1990. So let's just leave him at that.
Like, you watch him in, like, Dune, and then you watch him, like, in Picard, the Amazon series. They're the same. They look the same.
But it's the two of them going to get Jean Grey, and they're like, this girl's really powerful. She's too powerful. We can't control her. And Magneto's like, yeah, but I like her. I think she's good. Jean Grey's a bit of a bitch. Bit of a narc little child, so she is.
Bit of a prick. But
I mean, they look really impressed because she lifts up a bunch of cars and, like, a lawnmower. But I was like, lad, Magneto, you could lift
right
the bridge.
There. Yeah. You can do so much. You remember all that stuff you did from first class? When you turned all those nuclear missiles around?
Technically that happened here.
Technically that happened. I know they hadn't written that yet, but technically that happened.
So they get Jean Grey aboard. That's like, oh, she from a child, she was a bit different. She's the most powerful mutant ever. Of course, leading on from X-Men 2, where she died. And
yes.
So then we also have 10 years after that. This is one of the stupidest additions to the story. We've got Angel.
Warren Worthington III, Connor, please.
And he comes in and he's a little boy and he's chopping up. I was eaten when I was watching this movie earlier on.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't know why, but this, I was just like, I put down my bowl.
Yeah, no, this scene fucked with me as a kid. I thought, that's horrifying. That's actually
he's chopping
horrendous.
Off his wings. He's
chopping off his wings in the bathroom with a straight razor. And then his dad comes in and he's like, Dad, I'm sorry. It's like, dude, Lord. You just have wings.
Yeah, like, that's pretty cool.
You're telling me if a man in, if say this movie's set in, I don't know what year this is set because it's a not too distant future. They
I think it's like 07.
Right, so say in 07. And you have a boy with wings. That's the most popular cool boy on the planet, surely.
Do you remember Balloon Boy? He's way cooler than Balloon Boy.
He flies under his own volition. He's not limited by the physicality of balloons.
So that's like our introduction to two different things. Because this movie has two plots. And neither of them mesh together, but it wants to introduce both of them before the title card. So we got one, Jean Grey, super powerful. Oh, something might happen with that. Also, on the far side, Angel's father. He's disappointed because he's a mutant. How do we get rid of that mutant gene?
It's mad that they have two cold opens in this movie.
For two separate plots.
For two separate plots that, by all accounts, don't have that much impact on each other.
My favourite bit is at the end when they're all like attacking the building and Jean Grey is just standing in the background. She's constantly just in the background in the shots.
This like god level character.
And she's just looking a bit confused.
It's like, what's actually going on here? What are the stakes?
Why would you create Dark Phoenix and then the last action set piece is her pointed at the background beside Magneto going, go on there lads, get in there that building, go on there.
Yeah, red shirt mutants, go in and die.
So then we have the title card and all that stuff. We come back in. I just have written here, Logan is so cool.
Logan
because
is
training and he's cool. He's just too cool. Everyone else is a nerd.
He doesn't play by the rules.
That's the thing.
He's built different.
But what's important to remember is we're not insulting Hugh Jackman's perfectly cast in the role. And I think we're not even, I think that character is actually cool. But in this movie, it's like just turned up so much that Ratner doesn't understand why we like him. So he's like, well, we'll just make him the coolest. He's like Iron Man in Iron Man 2. Like, trying to be so cool, it's a turn off.
It's a little bit like, dial it back a bit, dude. We still haven't reached the levels of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
True.
Where he's like just the most action hero star there's ever been. But in this first scene, they try and make the audience think that it's the days of future past, Connor, because they're fighting Trevor. Sentinels.
Yeah.
Sentinels.
How did they fit them into that room?
It's all holograms, but also it's a very big battlefield, but a very
he
small
chose Wolverine.
They do the fastball special. This whole thing, there's a lot of pandering to comic book nerds in, as well in this movie.
My favourite is Ratner. He panders, but doesn't get it.
No.
doesn't understand it.
He went to a writer and said, what are some in-jokes from the comics? Put those in. And that's it.
And they're like, do you not want to like expand and maybe make these emotionally... Did I say to fucking expand them? Put them in for one scene, we'll hit on them, and then I move it on.
What? We've got Vinnie Jones as Jug... Oh, do I have a YouTube video for you?
And also Scott Summers, he's very sad. James Marsden, he's so sad.
What's he so like, sad about? Who dies? Yeah,
his girlfriend's dead.
Oh, right, that would make a man sad, actually.
And look, and that would make you sad. And so he's very sad, and he's going to be sticking around for this whole movie to find out, really try to explore that grief.
He's going to find a new family in the team of X-Men, sure.
He's going to find a new family in Lois Lane and her child soon enough.
His child as well, can we just say, like, that is his kid in the movie.
Is it?
Definitely Connor. Who else could it be?
How old's a child?
When did Clark disappear? Oh shit.
That child's moving pianos. Then we have to go back to the Department of, hang on, I wrote here, Department of Mutant Affairs, and we have Beast. Played by Kelsey Grammer, who's...
Best part of this movie, I will say.
I mean, Kelsey Grammer is Kelsey Grammer. He's excellent.
Yeah, and that Beast... like, because that's makeup for Beast. And, like, it looks
that's
amazing.
That's better than the Nicholas Holt. First Class.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's way better because it's an actual man in a suit with fur. Mm. It's not... Here, wear all these dots on your face and we'll...
How much money... Actually, $210 million. How much money do they have to pay Kelsey Grammer to sit in that makeup chair for 5 hours a day?
It's got to be upwards of a million, right?
Like, it has to be 200 of the 210 million that they had to pay.
What if they gave him, like, 2.1 million? Like, he gets a solid, like, 1% of the entire budget of the movie.
To be honest, Kelsey Grammer at this point doesn't need this. So no. They're like, we're going to put you in Beast makeup, but it's going to be 6 hours a day. And then it's 6 hours to take it off.
Do you think he signed up for, like... the first X-Men. Just like,
they've been putting on the makeup since. We'll be ready by the third one, I promise, Kelsey.
You're going to shine. You're going to shine in movie three.
We'll have it off by 2014. And so he's Beast, and he's having, you know, he's in amongst the government, and they find out they've captured Mystique. Very big fan favourite. I'm interested to see what they do with her in this movie.
What a good power as well, like, to be able to shapeshift. Oh, very, very, very cinematic.
I really hope Brett Ratner has time to fit her in here. So they capture Mystique, and they find out that they've developed a cure for mutants.
Yeah, there's a kid who can he can subdue mutant powers to anyone in his vicinity.
And Beast is obviously kind of, he's a bit conflicted.
Because he worked on a cure back in the 60s, you remember.
I can't remember that because that didn't happen.
That didn't happen yet, I'm sorry. But he was also romantically involved with Raven in the 60s.
Once again, shut up, Sean. I really think it's important to shut up. We can't go forward and back between storylines. They didn't even fucking clue what they were doing.
No, I just think it's funny that we're meant to retroactively be like, oh, all that happened.
There's a cure, and then it gets out into the public, and everyone's not happy, including Magneto, who is at a mutants meeting, and they're like, you know what, let's hear him out. You know, this cure might be all right. And Magneto's just at the back in amongst all the idiots, and he just stands up. Ian McKellen, might surprise you, excellent as Magneto.
It just commands the stage. And, like, this is the thing. Going back to what you said about, like, Hugh Jackman, none of this is his fault. None of this is any of the actors' fault.
Oh, no.
They're all acting the shit out of it.
Wait, they were all in X-Men 2, and they're all excellent in every single one of these films.
Yeah.
It's what's happening around them.
Exactly, exactly. And so, like, the characters are all solid. I just don't care about any of them in this movie, because they're written poorly.
Like, Halle Berry has an Oscar, but in this one... I think she was just told to stand around and just be as generic as possible.
There was meant to be a third plot with, and her and Logan having a weird on and off relationship thing.
Right,
so there's a load of bits where her and Logan are butting heads, but then they cut out all of the cute canoodly stuff. So it just looks like they're fighting the whole time.
But if they cut out the fights as well, she would have no scenes.
None.
Because every scene in this movie is a Wolverine scene.
Yeah. And every scene with Halle Berry is her being the polar opposite of Wolverine to show how cool Wolverine is.
Is there a scene that she's in that he's not in?
I don't think so.
No. I don't think there's actually a scene in the X-Men mansion. There's one because you have to have the Kitty Pryde Iceman scenes. But even that,
yeah.
He gets involved on the end with Rogue.
Yes. But well, they've always been a thing, him and Rogue.
Yeah. I like that. I like their relationship.
I like it. Yeah, they're good together.
But, so there's a cure. Nobody's happy. Magneto, obviously, I mean, if you've read any comic books, he's not with this. And that's such a good storyline to be like, you have Holocaust survivor Magneto.
Yeah.
And he's being told there's a cure that for all of your people. And your you could develop that so much.
Yeah, because what he hears is, you and your community, you are mutants. You have these powers, you were born like this. Here is a cure that if all the governments of the world decided, or if even one government decided, they could forcibly use this cure on any of you.
Yeah.
Without your consent. Like, that's horrifying to anyone, especially Magneto, given everything that's gone on. But he just becomes this kind of one-note villain for the rest of the movie, I feel.
Once again, the rat he's popped up.
Yeah.
So the rat has decided, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, look, he's around the Holocaust. We have a storyline where people are trying to whatever, right? And then he's just like, okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
We've gotten the point across. That's all we need to do. We just need to imply things. We never have to actually explore anything.
We need to sow the seed. Like I bet he would play that off as like, oh no, we trust our audience is intelligent to fill in the gaps. He just doesn't want to fill in any gaps.
No, we're intelligent to understand the link, but I'm like, you just never touched it again.
He just dropped it.
Like, you made it up for one scene. Magneto needed another crew. And so they joined him. He got a few bits of crew. One of them, by the way, is just a GPS to mutants, which is
very
handy.
Really handy. It is
very
actually,
handy.
Because he doesn't have a big cerebral machine.
That's true. And then after that, he's just like, he's fine. He's like, we're just going to fight the government. We're not going to let them do this to us. You know what I mean? Which is basically his plot in every other X-Men movie. But it's not really deeper than that.
No. It's just... It kind of, like, because he went through a whole journey in X2 as well, and it just kind of undoes a lot of that.
I don't think Ratner had seen X2.
I don't think Ratner's seen any movies.
I think Ratner had watched a highlight reel on YouTube of the first two movies. I was like, yeah, I got that. Yeah, cool.
Oh, more of that? Cool.
And so then we have one of my favourite scenes in all of X-Men cinema. Cyclops goes to a lake, and he dies.
Alkali Lake. He just fucking dies.
Just dies.
Dies like a little bitch.
Jean Grey's there, and he's like, oh,
class.
She's back to life.
That's what I was sad about.
That's literally it. He turns up, he's sad about his dead girlfriend, he looks up, she's there, just alive. And he thinks, oh, lads.
My eyes are playing tricks on me. My laser eyes are playing tricks on me.
Golly gee, is it Christmas already? And so he's delighted. And they get back together, they're kissing and they're hugging, and then we never see him die, because he dies off screen, because James Marsden only had a few days on set, because he had to go film Superman Returns.
Yeah, that might be the lake they used in Superman Returns, now that I think about it.
Actually, it fucking is.
It fucking is, I bet you.
I bet he doubled up on the day.
Got two paychecks. I will say, okay, let's give a bit of praise. There is a bit where Jean is like, oh, Scott, take off the glasses and look at me. And she, like, holds back his laser eyes. That's a cool bit. I like that. Dies off screen, leaving only his early 2000s sunglasses behind.
I mean, it's just one of the biggest kicks in the balls to a character that, in comic books, Cyclops is, like, he's the leader.
Yeah, head of the X-Men.
The movies... It's what's known as the movies have always done him dirty. He's always the most boring Boy Scout of all time.
He really is. Like, in the comics, he is the first to be recruited to the X-Men. He's the first one Charles finds.
And you know what's interesting is he... What happened to Cyclops is what everyone feared would happen to Captain America, but they avoided that one.
The Boy Scout thing.
Yeah, like, made him really boring. So they could have done that easily with Captain America as well, but they went the other way. Whereas Cyclops, I mean, it's just... James Marsden is excellent. You've got perfect cast, and you've got him there as Cyclops, and then you're like, ah, fuck, it'll be grand.
Yeah, well, people don't care about Cyclops. People only care about Wolverine. Get Cyclops out of here. We need to have a weird, horny scene with Famke Janssen and Hugh Jackman.
It's weird.
It's a weird moment.
Do you know what I mean before that? Is when, obviously, Professor X is like, oh, she's back. And he senses it. And he's like, right. And he sends out Halle Berry, Hugh Jackman. So Wolverine and Storm go check it out because they're the two leaders.
And they supposedly have this weird subplot that was cut as well.
Not involved in it at all. And so they're just together and they're going through all these clouds, very cloudy lake, right?
Yeah.
And it takes fucking 5 minutes. They land the ship in the clouds. Then they walk along for another few minutes, get a bit eerie. And then Wolverine says, wait, Storm, you can control all weather. Why don't you get rid of these clouds? You went, that's a great idea, Wolverine. Thanks for telling me.
Storm, how are you ever, like, inconvenienced by the weather? Like, that's your jam. That's your thing.
There should never be one moment where Storm doesn't first go, oh, I can get rid of these clouds when we're landing the ship. It can make it easier on us.
In X1, she's like, oh, we need some cover. I'll bring in some clouds.
Because she's lived with those powers for her whole life.
Yeah, she's never really had an issue in the movies controlling those powers. Like, I don't know.
I love the idea. You can go, like, so deep that, like, she could only use her powers when Wolverine allowed it in this film. And he's like, you are accepted to use your power now.
Like Wolverine's like, no. It's inconveniencing me. Please get rid of this.
If Wolverine hadn't said a word, they would have walked through that fog the whole way. She never would have said anything.
This fog, it's making all my cigars real damp. I can't light them.
Oh no, I'll get rid of it, Wolverine.
Hey, bub.
So as you said, then we have the next bit where Famke Janssen's Jean Grey, she wakes up. They find her there. And Professor X... he basically explains that when she was younger, he put a load of mind tricks on her and he trapped her Dark Phoenix energy in her brain and didn't tell her.
And Logan is rightly like, that's fucked, Charles.
That's pretty fucked, Charles.
Horrible.
But then Charles is like, yeah, but if we don't do it again, she's going to kill everyone. And Wolverine's like, nah, I'll control her, lad. Don't you fucking worry.
She's Jean. She's fine.
Yeah.
Cyclops is missing, presumed dead, but she's fine.
We found his glasses, but other than that, it's fine.
You know Cyclops. He wouldn't leave his glasses if he wasn't all right.
He's always walking around with no glasses. That's his one character trait.
That's his main thing. So
then they have this weird scene where she tries to have sex with him and then he stops it and then he's like, wait, where's Scott? And then she goes mad and becomes evil.
Yeah, and she's like, before she, like, Jean is like, oh, just kill me. Because Jean is like, no, I'm going to murder everyone if you let me live.
Yeah, and so then we have this small bit of scene where Angel's the first one that goes in to get the cure. And he flies away, and it's real beautiful. And He leaps out of a building, and he does a weird little jog before he gets to the window.
A weird little jog? I did see the weird little jog.
I'm like, nobody runs like that.
He needs momentum. It's a short floor, you know? He needs to break through.
I was like, that's the Ezra Miller special, to not do a run properly.
Also, that man with those angel wings in early 2000s, boy band front man right there.
Yeah.
Like, no one gives a shit if he's a mutant if he looks like that.
That actor, I don't know what his name is, and I apologise, but what I will say is he is the most 2006 actor I've ever seen.
Yeah, he is a time capsule for this movie. He perfectly dates it.
And I don't mean that, I don't even know if that's an insult or a compliment. He's perfect in 2006, that man.
Yeah, he's like he was made in a lab to be successful in 2006.
Our next scene is the truck scene, and because what happens is Magneto's like, I need my side gal, and I need her back in the fold. So they trapped. They're very clever, right? So they've got Mystique. Magneto's obviously going to try and get her out.
Of course.
So what we do?
They've been together for years.
They're
partners in crime.
And he's also pissed off now because there's a cure. So we know he's definitely going to react. So what we'll do is we'll stick her in a very metal cage, in a very metal truck, and we drive it across country.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
What we do, we just drive that truck into a place. No witnesses, no areas for backup. We'll just drive it right through there. We'll put like two police cars behind it. That'll be fine. They're made of metal.
Actually, this is a really good scene for Magneto, though, because it's always cool when he's just a killer, because he can do that.
No, yeah, like, because Magneto in the modern world is unstoppable, really.
Yes.
Like, there's so much metal around him at all times. Depending on the version, he can control the iron in your blood. So you're basically fucked. So any scene where he just gets to let loose. And these films are quite good at that, I will say, about Magneto.
Train fight.
When he kills all those men with a necklace in the woods.
Like, both of them in the other Dark Phoenix movie. There's one of them Apocalypse.
One of them is Apocalypse.
But this one is he's crushing cars. He doesn't even take a second look. The boys are driving toward him. He just crushes it completely, kills all four men, and then just fucks it to the side. And then crushes the other one and fucks that to the side.
And we get a truck flip in this movie as well,
A truck flip, yeah.
I love a truck flip.
Then they land.
No, I was just going to say, I love how he just doesn't give a shit. He's just like, no, I'm getting Mystique, it's fine.
And so then he's just killing fuckers, and he gets into the truck, and they find, I don't know this guy's name, is it Duplicate Man? Is it Multiple Man?
I'm not quite sure.
Is it Multiple Man?
Yeah. Mr. Many Men.
And so he's there, and then we also have, of course, Mystique. She gets freed. And then lastly, this one might be your favourite shot. We've got a big lad. He's always a big lad.
He's a wide boy.
And it's Vinnie Jones in a muscle suit playing the Juggernaut, bitch.
Big rubber muscle suit, Vinnie Jones. It's... I think even at the time, it was kind of dumb, right? Because it definitely is now.
But see, I love Vinnie Jones, right? I just think it's funny that he got this role when it's just funny they picked him out of all people. But like, the rubber suit looks so stupid.
It does. And even the Juggernaut outfit, it looks like it's made of foam, you know? Yeah. Like, they want it to look like, oh, he's got a big rock on his head. No, that is styrofoam.
They threw that in because Simon Kinberg said to Brett Ratner, people like the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
And then he went, well, we'll put him in, but like, for like three scenes.
Yeah, like, YouTube had just come out and someone had made a video saying, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch, and that had blown up. Yeah. And that's why he's in this movie.
So, just when they're about to escape, Mystique gets shot. By the cure. Your man has the cure in the gunshot. The government told them there wouldn't be any cure unless you wanted it. They're putting them in guns now.
It's a long range cure. Magneto and Mystique, they've been through so much. Surely he's going to try and help her get her power. Three movies? Mm. About 20 years, depending on the version. So surely he's going to help her out. He's not just going to abandon one of his closest allies, is he?
It's one of those really great character scenes. And it's a really interesting question to pose a character like Magneto. What do you do with this scene? And it's one of those really emotional scenes. You've got three movies. They've been together forever. We've seen them. They are rock solid. No matter what. He'll always come back for her. She'll always come back for him. They'll work together. That's a really emotional connection that you have there. But what's also important is we need to get to the next scene. Now, that's important to remember here, Sean. So what we have is we've got Mystique. Fucking, what an emotional scene. She loses her powers.
Her identity in many ways.
And Magneto now has to battle within a conflict within himself. Do I go with my oldest friend or do I go with the mutants? Was I her friend just because she was a mutant, or because of the person that she is and her beliefs?
Be a good way to make Magneto kind of more of a grey character rather than just an outright villain, you know?
So moving on to the next scene, he just says, fuck off.
Yeah. Says, you're not one of us anymore. Go fuck yourself.
Bye-bye.
Terrible, terrible writing.
My favourite is that she turns up once more in one scene, like, to rat out on him.
Yeah.
Or, like, to rap. And I'm just like, Mystique was, like, the coolest character in the first two movies of, like, the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Why would you do this to her?
She got done dirty in this movie.
Oh, man. Completely.
Like,
her, Cyclops, Professor X.
Yeah.
Who made it out of this looking well?
I mean,
Wolverine?
Wolverine probably is. It's mostly a Wolverine film.
Wolverine.
I genuinely think it's just Wolverine.
Because I don't even think... I think Jean Grey looks way worse.
Yeah, no, look, Famke Janssen acts the shit out of it.
Yes.
But...
I mean, as a character, looks way worse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Is there one character other than Wolverine that starts this movie and then ends it in a better place?
Rogue, I guess, depending on how you view that.
But the cure isn't permanent.
Yeah. Three scenes and two of them are her looking at her boyfriend ice skating.
And the other one is, I'm cured. I'm no longer a mutant. Well, that's a big emotional scene we didn't see. It was happening off screen.
Let's hold hands.
What happens then is they have to go visit Jean. Jean fucks off. She's mad. And she goes back to her childhood home. And Professor X is like, we're going to go get her. So him, Wolverine, and Storm, who have a side plot that doesn't exist, they turn up.
Which, it would make more of a sense, because they would be like the mom and dad of the X-Men.
Yeah.
If they were in a weird kind of on and off again thing. And then going to like a childhood home to talk someone down, that could be a nice dynamic.
Sean, we're 24 minutes into this movie and Scott Summers is dead. Mystique has been turned back into a human and Professor X is about to die. So I think you need to just fucking pipe down and we're just going to keep pushing along, right?
Okay.
Juggernaut's here.
Surely there'll be no other major character deaths within the first half hour of the film.
Like, we don't have time. I have to get to my bridge scene.
We spent $200 million on the bridge.
$50 million on Kelsey Grammer. Another $150 million on the bridge scene. So they get to Jean Grey's house and she's sitting there in just a chair randomly. She's not even sitting on the couch, which annoys me. She's after moving a kitchen chair into the living room and she's sitting on that. It's just weird. That's the most evil thing she does in this whole movie.
This woman's a psychopath.
What's that home decor about? And so X turns up and Magneto turns up. And the two lads, they're like, how's it going? We're after meeting here again. Isn't this weird?
Jace, you're looking old. What happened to you?
Professor X is like, I look the same, to be honest. But what happens then is interesting because Magneto says, Juggernaut, you keep those lads out, talking about Wolverine and Storm. Make sure they don't get into this house. And he sets his team outside. And then when it all goes to shit inside, Jean Grey starts going mad because Magneto is like telling her he just wants to control you. He doesn't even like you. He's never even your friend. He told me you were a dickhead behind your back at all.
Yeah. He lied to you for years. Like, he put mental blocks on your brain. That's fucked.
And so Jean Grey, obviously, not too happy. And then Professor X is like, now calm down, right? You'd be prettier if you smiled more, Jean, but calm
You're
down.
You're hysterical.
But women, he says, really loudly.
Hey, Logan, women, right?
And his whole scene, I was like, X, you are going to die, lad.
He's going to go through you.
I would say he has the right, he has the wrong vibes going into that room. There are absolute wrong vibes going, let me fucking mind blend you.
Maybe go a softer route, like, oh, we can work on this together, we can help.
I don't have to set any traps, we just need to work on this, work through it together. Me and you, we've always been together, Jean. Like, me and you always know each other. I'm really sorry for setting those traps. We can work on it from now on, all that shit. But he's like, nah, fuck you, I'm trapping your brain again. And Magneto rightfully is like, he wants to trap you again. And Jean Grey, not too happy. So
not thrilled.
it all starts kicking off. Wolverine's like, I better get in there and help. Juggernaut, smart. Juggernaut's like, I'll fight Wolverine. Picks him up, fucks him into the window.
Thereby inserting him into the drama.
And I was like, you got one job, Vinny. Vinny, your one role was to keep Wolverine out of the house.
Like, all you have to do is grab hold of him and start moving the opposite direction.
Throw him into a different house if you have to. Why throw him into the one house he wants to get into?
Like, just rip him in half. Like,
he'll heal. It's fine.
Like, he'll heal, but he'll be sore after it, presumably.
And then Professor X, he just won't change his mind. Never once even reacts. Doesn't do anything. And just disintegrates.
Just explodes in a weird cloud of dust and ash.
She bursts his ashes, or his atoms.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's no way back from that, Connor. We'll never see this man again.
No, I don't think... I think he's pretty dead, to be honest.
Yeah.
And Magneto's like, you shouldn't have done that. Anyway, come on with me.
My friend. Do you want to stand behind me while I do some shit on a bridge?
Huh? $50 million. Go to the bridge.
Very good bridge.
And so he's like, you come with me now, Jean. I'll look after you. We're going to work together. And she's like, yeah, that's fair enough. That seems like a good plan. And Wolverine, he's like, oh, wow, this whole scene didn't really get much of an emotional, traumatic scene. But Professor X is now dead.
Yeah, and now, God, where's my blue shirt? I have a funeral to get to.
So you have to go to the funeral. And to be honest, it's a bit of a dickhead move from Wolverine.
This dude took you in. This dude gave you a family. You're showing up, sleeves rolled up, cigar in your mouth, looking like you hate him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fucking, what a prick Wolverine is. Oh, but he's so cool. He's so cool, though.
Oh, fuck me, he's cool though. God damn it.
Because he's not sad, he's angry. That's what he's about.
He's a loose cannon, but I'm glad he's at her deck, Sean.
That's
what I always say to you.
He's a man's man, what can I say?
He literally is like Iron Man, Tony Stark in Iron Man 2. I'm just like, just react like a human.
Just have an emotion, please.
Other than, I'm too cool for this. Right? So they have the funeral. Storm is now the leader of the X-Men.
Yeah.
And then next scene is Iceman and Kitty Pryde, and they go have an ice skate, and Rogue sees this through the window, and she's like, that's not great. Iceman's a bit of a dick.
Iceman is a bit of a dick. Give him the cold shoulder is what I would do, Rogue.
Touch
his face and steal his powers and kill him.
Or just rub his face so much and kill him. Just kill him.
Just kill him. Fucking kill him, Rogue.
Wait till he falls asleep, touch his nose. Just boop his nose with your finger and kill him that way.
They have a weird, like, date ice skatey thing to cheer Kitty up after the funeral.
It's fine. Iceman, you have a girlfriend. It's a bit fucking sus. Very sus.
Do you know what would have been grand had you knocked on Rogue's door and said, listen, Kitty's a bit sad. I'm just going to go ice skating with her.
Even though it would have been fine. Is that fine?
At least Rogue wouldn't have looked out the window and happened to catch
you
them doing it.
You knock on your girlfriend's door. Say, that girl next door is sad, who I can have sex with because she doesn't kill me if I touch her. And
I wouldn't phrase it like that, Connor. I would not phrase it like that.
Sorry. I just think, naturally, Rogue's like, that's a bit fucking... It's a bad move.
But you like, fucking... Just, Rogue, do you want to put on some gloves and come join us? Like... How hard? It's ice. It's going to be cold anyway.
But, Rogue then leaves, and before she leaves, she runs into Wolverine because everybody has to work around him. And if he leaves the
and
house,
she's like, "Can I leave?
To
can
me,
I leave?" Wolverine?
It's like Itchy and Scratchy, and it's like if he's not around, everyone should be asking. Where's Wolverine?
Where's Wolverine gone?
I imagine it's the scene like in Get Out where when Wolverine leaves the room, the party stops and everyone just stops moving until he comes back into the room.
Until he's ready to reactivate.
And so, Wolverine's like, I'm not your dad. You just do whatever feels right for you. And that's a really nice scene. It's actually the one nice scene in the movie.
Yeah, because they kind of came to the X-Mansion together, didn't they? Like, they kind of both found each other and then found the mansion.
And I just really like that she's like, why are you trying to stop me? And he's like, I'm not trying to stop you. I'm just saying, like, if you're doing it for him, it's a bad deal. Like, you're going to get cured. And she's like, no, I'm doing it for me. And he's like, that's fair enough. Yeah. You do what you got to do.
Do what makes you happy.
Yeah. Nice man, Wolverine, because you were a dickhead the last scene to the funeral for your father figure. So now you're nice.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
I wonder will that streak continue at all in the future of the film?
Then we have to go back to Magneto's brotherhood back in the forest.
Oh, I love a forest.
This is our lovely set piece for the next few minutes, because we have Magneto and he's like, you're so powerful. Oh, wow. You're amazing. You could do anything. Now stand behind me while I do the last act. But anyway, you're amazing. I like the bit when she rips apart the gun and
goes to try
and stab him with the cure and he starts freaking out.
Yeah, he's like, no, that's enough. Stop it, please.
And she's like, oh, you're trying to control me as well. I like Ian McKellen. I mean, this might sound surprising, Sean.
Go ahead.
Ian McKellen is good at acting.
Okay, how'd you reach that conclusion?
It's just that he really gets across that he's a shithouse. Oh, fuck, this one's really way more powerful than me. Oh, shit, I could die.
Yeah, he has a certain way in his eyes of just capturing, I might be out of my depth here.
Like, he's really good at that stuff. Then we have a really small scene where Storm and the team are standing around. Beast, Storm, Kitty, you have Iceman, Wolverine, the Dream Five.
Yeah.
Why are Kitty and Iceman there? Nobody knows.
They are the only other named X-Men in the film.
They don't have anybody else. They just have kids. And they've realised, I think at this point, Brett has realised he's killed everyone else.
Yeah. Brett is like, okay, let's bring Cyclops in for the. Oh, no.
What have I done? I've killed everyone. Because if there's only senior members, it's Wolverine, Storm, and Beast, and that's it.
Yeah. Like, and even Beast is like, I feel like he's more of a reserve.
He's not even in the team. He's in the government.
Yeah, but he's quite strong and can bite people.
And so they have Kitty Pryde there and also Iceman. They're both sitting around. Angel then comes in and he's like, I heard this was a place for mutants. And Storm's like, it still is. Come on in. And then they go back to a different room. And that's the last we see of that scene. We really needed it.
Yeah, that's the entire reason Angel is in this movie.
Yeah.
Is to have Storm say that one line.
No, he's there to save somebody at the end, Sean.
But you could just as. But if Angel's not in it, that other character doesn't have to be in it either.
That's a good point, but also, Angel doesn't even need to come to the mansion to do the last scene.
No, he really doesn't.
But that's. Look, what's important here is we've got a lovely moment where Angel's been accepted into a mansion. By a blue beast of a man. Anyway, so I also have written here, Storm is the only normal person in this movie.
Yeah, like she's the only one who actually treats people like people as well.
Yeah.
And not just bodies to quip off.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, like, props to do puns off.
Exactly,
Just, like, she's the only one who's like, we should probably care for people, guys.
Yeah.
Kids are scared.
There's, like, 70 kids here, guys.
And Wolverine's, like, smoking a cigar, like, fuck them.
Wolverine's pouring petrol all over the place and just lighting matches, seeing what happens.
Pouring petrol on himself. And set himself on fire, fuck them.
Oh, I'm so cool.
So then Magneto starts a war by sending, is it Pyro? What's that mutant's name?
I think it's Pyro.
Pyro. Flame Boy.
Pyro Matt? I think it's just Pyro, honestly.
So Pyro comes down. He sets fire to the whole the place that they were giving out the cure to all the mutants, because all the mutants are lining up outside, and he sets fire to the whole place. Mm. And then Magneto's on the television and he's like, I've started a war. You're either with us or against us. The mutants are fighting back and we're going to kill everyone that's not a mutant.
The rhetoric is really weird for what that character has been through, though.
But let's forget what he's been through and his character traits and what his character's based off that makes him interesting. This is the plot shot.
But I'm just saying, he's standing up on a podium above everyone saying they'll start a war, and if you're not winning, you're against it. Oh, I don't like it. It's I don't irony. Like it.
It's irony, Sean. See, Brett is he's playing 4D chess. He realizes that's irony. I think he did.
But yeah, but do you remember how much Magneto strove to be different? And I get that's it's a common thing with his character that like there is a lot of unfortunate similarities there. But Connor, and I would like to point to First Class. Yeah. To where he hunted Nazis around the globe so for good. His own, just so he could sleep at night.
Yeah, that's so good. That is so good. But at the same time, that's a pretty neat bridge you got there. It'd be a real shame if something happened to it.
I mean, it does look quite an expensive bridge.
Also, do we have a scene before where 100% Ratner has thought to himself there's not enough action? We haven't had an action scene since the first start, right? Yeah. And so he sends Logan to the fucking camp where Magneto is, and we have like a 5-minute action scene where he butchers through a bunch of people, right?
Yeah.
Then he sees Jean Grey, then he runs over to her and he's like, Jean. Magneto picks him up because he's made of adamantium and fucks him out and just goes, leave, and just fucks him across the forest.
Do you know how you make this film the best film of all time?
Right.
And it's in this scene.
Yeah.
Magneto picks him up and he pulls all the adamantium out of his body. That's how you make this the best X-Men movie.
Kill Wolverine.
Kill Wolverine at this point. Mm. Or at least take away his adamantium. Just leave him with bone claws.
I love that your plan to make this movie better is to go Cyclops, Mystique, Professor X, take adamantium out of Wolverine.
You know,
first 45 minutes.
But like, I just want more Angel play. You know, I want That's Angel more time to shine. Yeah.
I want Angel from Buffy the Vampire Slayer to turn up. Maybe have a bit of a scene or two.
Yeah, I want Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I've not watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You're missing out, lad.
It's too dated for me, I think.
Angel's like Batman. But he's a vampire.
Batman's not a vampire, though. He's a man.
Yeah, but Angel's... He's a detective. He goes around solving crimes. Oh, it's so good, Sean.
Oh, we'll talk about... Is there a Buffy movie we can watch for you someday?
There is actually a Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie that came before the series.
We'll watch that for Pelt.
It's absolutely atrocious.
Oh, we'll watch that for Pelt.
look, we have the whole scene where Logan has to fight off a bunch of these fucking Brotherhood lads. It's a really dumb scene, makes no sense. Nobody emotionally moves anywhere, nothing changes in the plot, nothing changes anywhere. He shows up, he fights for a little bit, then he gets fucked across the forest, we move on to the next scene.
Yeah, and he's just fine the next scene he's in. Like, there's no repercussions
from
this.
Like, in my head, he just walks back to the mansion.
He hops back on his sick hog and then rides back to the mansion, Connor.
Because Storm says, don't leave, we need you here. And he goes, cigar in his mouth, you don't need me anywhere, babe. I'm getting my hog, fucking going.
And then he kisses her and pushes her away.
And so there we have, they find Magneto's camp, the government, because Mystique rats him out. The camp location.
Just immediately. She's just like, okay, well, fuck him.
But what's interesting is, though, I could see that, but also he shouldn't have done what he did. So I think both of them are just hurting and they need to talk to each other emotionally.
What's really awkward is we do learn later on that the cure is only temporary.
Is it?
Because at the end, he moves the chess piece a little tiny bit.
Oh. Yeah, but I see that more as Magneto's so strong that he overcomes, like, he's a level 5 mutant.
I don't know. I think it's just that the cure is temporary. It doesn't last forever. That's how I always read it.
Oh, I've
because he comes back. He comes back with his powers later on. At the end of The Wolverine.
Don't want to start throwing other movies into this trilogy didn't exist, Sean.
This is all canon, all right? This is the time... This is before they fucked the timeline, even.
No, right. It's canon, but the movie came out in 2012 or whatever, Sean. It's not canon. Do you think Brett Ratner was thinking, jeez, I'm going to bring out The Wolverine in 2012. That'll really tie all this up.
I would argue, do you think that Fox, as a studio, would let them depower Magneto permanently?
No, but I don't think Fox cared at this point. They wanted to wrap up this trilogy and then they realised, oh, there's still a lot of money on the table, and then just started doing the origin movies and they went, oh, fuck, there's not a lot of money in them. Let's go back to the 60s.
But before the 60s, at the end of the Wolverine, Logan shows up in the airport. Charles is still alive, which was set up in this movie, so there was plans. Okay. And Magneto has his metal-bending powers.
What? Charles isn't alive, though, at the end of this movie.
He fucking is. He's reincarnated in the body of his, brain-dead brother.
Fucking hell. Is that in the deleted scenes?
That's in, like, it's in the post-credits.
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off.
He wakes up in a room and he's like, hello, Moira. And it's Moira McTaggart just being a
this
nurse looking after
him. This whole movie is terrible. Just atrocious.
Look, some of us are true fans, Connor.
I just think you're being too forgiving.
Maybe I am, okay? But I need to forgive something, otherwise I wasted an hour and 45 minutes of my life.
I think we all did. We've seen Wild Mountain Time, it can't be any worse.
Yes, true.
So, yeah, then we have the big scene where, the government show up at the camp. Turns out it's duplicate Multiple Man. He's there.
That's why they wrote Multiple Man into this movie, for this one scene.
Just for this one scene, and they just capture him. Wow, he outsmarted them. God help us all.
Oh,
and
no.
So the next scene is we have shite green screens behind. Yeah. I wrote specifically one of the worst green screen jobs I've ever seen. And there's a scene where Magneto, Juggernaut, and the rest of his crew are looking at the bridge. Up on the hill.
Yes.
And it's absolutely fucking atrocious.
It looks like if you go to like Harry Potter World and they put you in front of a green screen and put you in front of Hogwarts. It's that level of bad.
To me, it's like the 50s movies where they're driving
and they're just projecting it.
That is how bad it was. And I was just like, $210 million. And nobody took a second look at that shot. I was like, we should probably composite that better in the background. Just make it a little
even
more seamless.
Turn down the saturation tiny bit.
Just a tiny bit.
Make the shadows match the actors, why don't you?
No, it's atrocious. And so it's so funny that scene is the one before the big set piece where he picks up the fucking Golden Gate Bridge and carries it across to Alcatraz.
And maybe that's where the majority of the focus and the budget was left.
Because that does look good.
It does look good. It also has my favourite joke in the movie, which is where there's someone on the bridge in their car, and they look at Magneto and they just lock the door. It's so dumb, but it's just like, it's such a genuine reaction.
You know what? I think we forgive the movie for that one scene, because whoever that extra was, that lady's acting was excellent in that scene. She gives him a look, and then she looks at the lock, and then she looks at him, and she just like, presses it.
And Magneto just looks away. He's like, for fuck's sake.
Because he's moved the whole fucking bridge.
Yeah, it's so good. And there's a bit later where they're just pegging cars off the bridge and just setting fire to them. I like to imagine she's still in there.
Oh, I can only assume. This is the big attack scene. So the big end fight scene is like all the Brotherhood are there. They've got to attack this fucking Alcatraz lab that has the cure, because there's the kid in there who's the cure.
Yeah.
And so all the Brotherhood...
They're going to kill a kid.
They're going to kill a kid. Like, Magneto doesn't give a fuck. He'll kill a kid. That's fine.
That's fine by him.
But then on the far side, we've got the X-Men. They suit up because Wolverine's like, we got to do this for Professor X, who I kind of disgraced at his own funeral. I didn't really give a shit then, but now I care.
Jeez, I danced on his grave and everything when no one was looking. But God,
but then
I love
went to see Jean Grey and she pushed me across a forest and now I'm in. Now I'm all in,
lads.
Because
I love Jean, I think.
Storm? Do I love Storm or Jean?
I don't know. I do not know. But Beast even gets a little X-Men suit.
Beast gets a suit. They have six people. So it's six versus about 300.
Yeah, but they've got teamwork, Connor.
Exactly. And they also have the army, who now are all set up with non-metal plastic guns that shoot the cure. And what happens is... you have a big standoff where you have all the army protecting the lab, basically not letting Magneto get to it. Magneto's on the other side and he sets all the pawns going forward and they all just get shot to death by the cure. So they're all like sprinting towards you and the army lads are just picking them all off one by one.
Some of the most worthless mutant powers that we've seen as well in this franchise. There's the man with 2-inch spikes all over him.
Pretty good.
There's the man with transparent skin. Did you see that, dude?
The guy who can stick to things, Spider-Man? Yeah.
So useful. So useful on Alcatraz Island.
He's just sticking to a wall and then he falls.
And the wall is destroyed.
And so what happens then is Juggernaut's like, why am I not going in? And he's like, we let the pawns, in chess you let the pawns go in first. So basically he's just setting lads in to get butchered to death to see what they'd have.
Yeah, and, it's an odd move.
But at the same time, very Magneto. I'm willing to accept that.
Magneto values mutant life more than people say. Like, he even says in this movie, Charles Xavier did more for mutants than anyone ever has.
Actually, that's one of the best scenes in the film. One 10-second scene.
It really is, because it shows that he respects the hell out of Charles Xavier. He doesn't agree with his methods. He thinks there's more effective ways to it, but he acknowledges, no, he's done a lot for mutants. And Magneto loves mutants. They're his people. He would not just send in droves of them to their death.
To get turned into humans.
Yeah. It wouldn't happen.
But it's cool set piece, though.
It is a cool set piece, I suppose. I'll acknowledge it's a cool set
Try
piece.
Try to get into the brain of the rat.
I don't want to, thinking? Connor.
No, he's a bastard of a man. But
it's a dark, twisted place.
We were talking about Buffy, actually, Joss Whedon as well. Not a lot of bastards in this episode.
Do you know, Joss Whedon actually wrote Gifted, the storyline that this is based off of.
In the Dark Phoenix.
The Cure. The Cure.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Bastards all round.
Bastards all round. Everyone's connected to this. But, yeah, so then the big fight scene happens. All the X-Men line up. Now, this was the bit that annoyed me, right? So there's six of them.
Yeah,
and the six of them are Metal Man. What's his name?
Colossus.
Jeez, I forgot his name from Deadpool. Colossus. You've got Wolverine. You've got Beast. You've got Storm. Yeah. You've got Iceman. Right, that's a pretty strong five in hand-to-hand combat. On the end, you got Kitty Pryde. Now, if I'm going into battle, Wolverine is like, hold this line. We don't let them pass here. I'm like, Wolverine, tactically, that is a shit plan, because Storm is better from distance, so you stick her up on a roof.
Yeah.
Kitty Pryde, what is the point of her sending her into this battle? She can run through people, fair enough.
She can put people in the ground.
It's grand for Wolverine. He can't be killed, and he's got knives constantly.
And he's an excellent fighter and can't get tired.
To me, I'm like, okay, well, Storm, you go above and just start lightning striking boys nonstop.
Yeah. Storm, you know that metal bridge that everyone's standing on? Do you want to just go for it?
And so then, I'm like, well, you said Beast and Wolverine in first. And just let them massacre as many of them as they can. Iceman in behind, icing people. Kitty Pryde, go get the kid, which he does eventually. But like, my favourite was, he's like, we hold this line. I was like, it's a bit unfair on two of the members.
It really is.
You and Beast are fine. And Colossus.
If you want to hold a line, get Iceman to make a very big ice wall on that line.
And you, Colossus, and Beast just stand in front of it and then just maul hands down.
And Storm, I don't know, make a hailstorm, but it's like bowling ball sized, and just target it at those lads.
And that's not to say, like, Kitty Pryde is an excellent character.
Oh, she is. She's fantastic.
She's got great strengths, but I don't think hand-to-hand combat is one of that girl's strengths.
No, technically she can't be hit, so that's one thing in her favour.
That's true, actually. That's true. But you could use her with one of them.
Yeah. Like, You could, in theory, the fastball special with Wolverine. Do that. Just throw her literally through everyone and just get her to kick Magneto in the head.
We're not rewriting the movie, but I'm just telling you, that's how you set up this team of six.
Yeah, and like, none of these ideas have flaws in them, but they're certainly better than us six. We'll hold the line.
If I was Wolverine, I would constantly be like, guys, let's hold the line and get into a hand-to-hand fight with people. Because I'm Wolverine.
Yeah, and I love killing.
Because to be honest, I can't die, so you're all fucked, lads. If they overwhelm me, you're all dead.
Guys, let's set fire to ourselves. How about that? Intimidate. Iceman, you'd love it.
And so what happens then is Juggernaut goes in to get the kid, which is Leech. And he's, because obviously he's the cure, so they want to kill him. And Kitty Pryde goes in and she's going to get him. as well, because obviously you're trying to save him. And you have a scene where Kitty Pryde is trying to outrun the Juggernaut, and the Juggernaut's being like, the Juggernaut, Sean. As a Juggernaut fan, what do you think of this?
It's not a great representation of the Juggernaut, I would say. One of the worst, I would say. Absolutely
don't you
terrible.
Know who I am?
I'm the Juggernaut buddy.
Bitch.
Oh. Yeah. But also, like, his whole thing is that, like, nothing can slow him down and he can't be stopped, right?
Yeah.
Every time before he runs in a wall, and this is, I'm not trying to insult Vinnie Jones here, but there's a moment where he, like, braces to run through the wall. And the Juggernaut should not do it. He should just run as if there's nothing there.
Mm. That's a very comic booky complaint to have. On the far side, he is the Juggernaut, bitch.
That is true, and he does, but he does get stuck in that floor and then just kind of flexes his way out.
That, you know what? I really like that Kitty Pryde's like, okay, well, I'm going to stick you in the earth.
Yeah. No, that's genius. Like, that's how she fights.
Yeah, and I think that's really good. I just feel like, I mean, he gets out of it very easily, and maybe she should keep doing it. Just, like, hanging onto his leg and bringing him into the earth.
Maybe put it, like, put him deeper in. Put his whole head in. Suffocate him in concrete. Like, kill him.
Kill him.
Just kill him, man. No one will find the body. He's in concrete. And if they dig down a little bit, what's his helmet made of? Concrete.
That's what I mean. I think Kitty Pryde, pure assassin. You use her as an assassin. She picks people off.
You just need to corrupt her a little bit. You need to make her not a nice person.
Like, I think Wolverine thinks he's hardy. Like, Beast and Colossus, they think they're hardy. She could kill every single one of them by just grabbing them and putting them in the earth and then just walking away.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, oh, I don't know, I'd put you down in the core of the earth for whatever reason.
He grow those back, as Wolverine says.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. It's, the fight isn't too bad. I like the bit with Iceman and Pyro, where he becomes comic book Iceman in it.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty nice, because they have a rivalry as well in these movies. He was in Pyro was in the X-Mansion previously.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was part of the team, and then he betrayed them at X2.
Yeah, he did. What a prick. He's so cool.
He's actually a very 2006 looking man himself.
He is. He's got a 2006 look about him.
He does. And we all know what we mean, but it's very hard to explain.
It is. And The next bit I remember is the Fastball Special version 2.
Ah, well, first of all, we have one of my favourite bits, and it's actually a very small scene, is when the other Brotherhood lads, they find the scientist, and the spiky guy hugs her to death.
I
just think that's a cool small scene.
It is a pretty good, it's a cool use of his powers if he gets in close.
Like, he's like, it's okay. And he's like hugging her, it's like, everything's going to be fine. Then he does all the spikes and just kills her. I was like, that's a really small scene, it's kind of cool, but then we got to go back to the dumb action now in a second.
Yeah, and it's mad that, like, there's like 10 minutes left in the movie at this point. And Jean Grey has done nothing.
She's standing there looking angry, Sean.
But, like, she's obscured behind Magneto in it.
Yeah, like, Jean Grey in this last scene is the equivalent of when you have, like, a really good football player, but you leave him on the bench. You're like, right, you stand there and look at the game. And you tell me what you think.
Right, once extra time comes, that's when you're going to shine.
It's such a dumb idea, because Magneto's constantly like, she's our big weapon. She's our big weapon. Now, if you'll excuse me, stand in the fucking back, because this is my show, right? I'm going to carry this bridge.
Yeah, like, she, like, killed Cyclops, right? Why not just have her explode the facility that the kid is in?
Well, in the next, like, literally in 5 minutes, she explodes everything and everyone. Yeah.
And is clearly capable of doing that. So why isn't that the plan straight away?
If we're honest with ourselves, Sean, what happens is they've created a character that's too powerful, and it's a classic X-Men trope that they Professor X'd Jean Grey.
It's true. They just make her not willing to do anything, I suppose.
She's just kind of watching. She's just having a look.
She's playing it by ear.
Any minute now, boys, I'm going to do something.
I'll see how this goes now, and then I decide what I'm going to do.
See how this plays out, lads. I don't know which side I'm on.
If the Brotherhood fall, God, back to the X-Men for Genie.
And so they all get camped out behind the cars, and they're about to die because obviously Magneto's picking up cars behind them, fucking them, and Pyro's setting them on fire, and then they're exploding.
Great, and that's a cool 1-2 punch of a power. Also, before this happens, Warren Worthington the third saves Warren Worthington the second. And flies him to safety.
Pyro doesn't understand that. That is Angel saves his weird dad who had come up with the cure because he didn't love him.
Yeah, that's it.
And now you would think emotional payoff. Fuck it, hell. Sit on that for 10 seconds. No, 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 no. The cars are on fire.
It's time now to end the movie.
He just catches her. He just catches his dad and then we just cut away. We've no more interest. I don't want to see any more of it.
Like, that's that character's arc, is like, his dad wants to kill him, he jumps out a building, and then he saves his dad.
He goes to a hotel,
yeah,
and then he comes back. It was so silly. Why would you... They must have just liked Angel, the character, and just like, yeah, we're throwing him in. Definitely.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he was one of the last characters they could still use.
Yeah. So yeah, look, then they're about to all die. There's no hope. Wolverine says, we better work together. We better come together. We'll do the old special.
That's not my Wolverine, Connor. My Wolverine's a lone wolf who gets things done his own way.
But this is his arc, Sean. This is the arc that we all wanted. So he gets Colossus to pick him up. And he fucks him. And this might surprise you, Sean, as of every X-Men movie we've ever seen, ever.
Go ahead.
Gets thrown at Magneto. Now,
Perfect plan.
Man made of metal, thrown at the man who controls metal. What's he going to do? Probably nothing.
If only someone had pulled all the adamantium out of his body earlier, that might have worked and been clever.
Smart. Thinking ahead. Pull my bones out.
That's why he went to the forest. He's just like, no, because guys, he's definitely going to take all the metal from my bones.
And they're like, that's pretty risky, Wolverine.
No, it'll definitely work. And he has to drive back real sad, being like, he didn't take the metal.
I'm still full of metal. Fucking shit.
So now we have to use teamwork.
I'm going to do it all myself, I promise. Anyway.
So he gets cursed in metal bulls.
And that's the scene this movie needs. And so then he catches him, obviously, as we've seen hundreds of times in all these movies.
Yeah.
But I think I seen a tweet once, which was so funny, is every X-Men movie is one of them like, I'm going to fuck this guy up. I'm going to fuck... Oh, no, I'm in a metal! And so Magneto catches him, and he's like, you never learn. And Wolverine's like, yes, I do. Ha ha ha.
I'm a teacher.
Because Beast then lands behind him and stabs him with all the cure, Sean. Magneto's cured.
I like how he just stabs him with like a fistful of cures.
Oh, like four of them at once.
Look, fair play for Beast for getting the final kill on Magneto. But yeah, he's no longer a mutant. He's just like all of them now, Connor.
He's just a regular boy.
It's so fucked up, man. Because, like the X-Men, similar to Magneto, they want to help mutants. They don't just want to take someone's powers from
them. I'm telling you, Brett Ratner hates X-Men, and he nuclear bombed this fucking franchise.
Do you think Brett Ratner was up to, do Superman Returns?
He's thick as fuck. He's like, oh, fuck this.
I'm going to ruin everything you've built, Singer.
Like, if you came into an X-Men franchise and your five ideas were, I want to kill Cyclops, I want to kill Professor X, I want to turn Magneto back into a human, I also want to kill Jean Grey eventually, is that okay? Just that. Oh, also Mystique, no longer a mutant.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get rid of the two big bads and the three big goods. Is that okay?
And Fox are just like, they're rolling in money at this point. It's like, make it 210 million.
Like, they're counting 50s while they're doing it. They don't even look up. They're like,
whatever
the fuck you want to do, Brett. It doesn't fucking matter at this stage. Is he Hugh Jackman in it? Well, then fuck me. Kill anyone you want.
Your grand. Just once he's cool, we don't care.
Does he have all his bones? And I'm fucking in, boy. And yes. I'm fucking in.
What's coating those bones? Metal. Good. Excellent.
That's all we have to hear, because we have Origins coming out next year. And so, yeah, look, he gets stabbed. Magneto gets turned into a human, ultimately ruining all of his interesting storylines. And I mean, I can see that as an ending to Magneto, like that's the ultimate thing that you could do to him to piss him off and yeah. turn him back into a human. I like that ending. It doesn't. This movie doesn't deserve it, so I'm not going to give it the emotional weight that it probably needs to have. And then we have the last bit, because Jean Grey goes mad and she starts turning everyone to dust.
Jean sees Magneto like dead and is like, now it's my time to shine.
She's like, oh, is the Cure storyline over? Can I come back in? Because I've been on pause since about 45 minutes in.
You know that seminal comic, Dark Phoenix? Let's do some of that now in the last
Because I killed
minutes.
Professor X like an hour ago and literally nobody's talked to me since.
Yeah, so I'm feeling a bit awkward right now, quite honestly. So all the soldiers understandably fire on her straight away.
And they all get turned to dust. She turns the building to dust. Very important, she doesn't turn the important X-Men to dust because we need them.
No.
Because ultimately the team is about four people big now at this stage. So if Brett kills any more, we've just literally nobody left.
All the like 70 orphaned mutants back at the mansion. Just no one ever comes back.
They're waiting behind the door. And so everyone is, they're just all dead. And except for one man, one brave man who we need in every action set piece to be the big hero.
Yeah.
And Wolverine's like, I'm going to stop her.
Yeah, I'm the only one who can do it because I can't actually die.
And so then my question to you, Sean, is out of every possible plan he could have, the best one is surely to pick up one of the cures and stab her if this is the woman that he loves, but she is just corrupted by a power that is a mutant power.
Yeah, see, this is the thing, because that power will cure her of the power.
Yeah. That's interesting, because like you could cure the villain side of her and just have Jean Grey as a human who he is in love with and she loves him as a normal person. And so you could have that, but alternatively, let's stab her a few times. What about that?
I like the idea that the cure is just out of reach and Logan's like, well, I tried.
I better stab her. Because she's, oh, I love you so much.
Like, Jean is... What's fucked is that Jean is still in there. He gets up to her. Somehow, everything but his trousers, like, disintegrates.
Yeah, that's from the PG-13.
Has to be done, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be a different movie, otherwise. But he gets up to her, and she says, Logan, save me.
Yeah, but he's like, yeah, I'm fucking going to save you. I brought a fucking knife.
Dab through the stomach. It's like, maybe she meant, like, give me the cure, man.
I mean, there's no way you write this movie and don't have him give her the cure. It doesn't make any sense that she's come back from the dead. He's like, the love of my life is back, but she's corrupted by a mutant power. Oh, fuck, what could we do? Like, if only there was a way we could not have the mutant power in her, I would have the woman that I love back.
Exactly, because in this, it's not like some cosmic force that is making Jean Grey super powerful. No. It's just her base level, basically.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do, like, because you could do this, because, and you can still have Wolverine be the cool guy, all the way through, since Jean comes back, you need people to tell him, we have to stop her, we have to put an end to her, she's not Jean anymore. And him being Bull Tick, being like, no, it's her, it's her.
He keeps saying, Jean's in there somewhere.
Jean's in there somewhere.
I need to get her out.
And then, at the end, he's behind the car, looks to Storm, and Storm is like, Logan, you're the only one who can do it. And so the audience, he's walking up,
yeah,
and have the claws out, why not? And we all think, fuck, he's actually going to do it.
Yeah.
Gets up to her. She says, Logan, save me. You just see him do a stab motion.
Yes.
And then they both look down and she's cured. And you have your cake and eat it too.
I feel like Brett wanted to kill her as well. I just think he wanted the triple threat of killing Cyclops, Professor X and Jean Grey in an X-Men movie.
I mean, that is... It's an odd dream to have.
He's like, he would have got the Storm if he had another 10 minutes, I think. I think she was going to die too.
Storm like crashes the jet on the way back because it was too cloudy. She couldn't see.
Somebody better get rid of these clouds. I can't really see.
If only Logan was here to direct me.
Logan's outside waving away the clouds.
But yeah, that's how I think it should have ended. Rather than just stabbed through the stomach.
It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't even make any sense emotionally. Doesn't make sense for any characters. But my God, is it cool. Because he stabs her, she immediately dies. Doesn't just even have a moment like, oh, Jesus, I've been stabbed. That really hurt. Because he stabbed her in the stomach, like. Mm. So you know the moment the movies are like, I've been stabbed. Oh, no. And then they die slowly. She's dead instantly. She had stabbed once, dead.
Bit of a rant, but if you're in the Game of Thrones universe, get stabbed in the stomach, fall in a dirty river, you'll be fine an hour later.
I've seen that. I've seen that happen. Yeah. I said my next note is the movie mercifully ends, and then I just have Magneto still has powers ? Because he moves a little chess piece at the end.
Moves a little chess piece a little bit. I like him being a sad old man playing chess on his own. Because Charles is dead and he's the only one he'd ever play with.
That's his best friend.
Charles' best friend. And then the movie's not over, Connor, because you get to the mid-credits scene, or the end-credits scene, and I swear to God, Charles Xavier's still alive.
Did you think I was going to watch all the credits of this movie?
No.
Did I hear my final note of the movie mercifully ends? The minute that first directed by Brett Ratner comes up, I'm out. I'm done.
You're just like, oh, okay, peace. I've
done my job for the Patreon.
I've done my government-mandated Patreon review. No, he shows up at the end, and Moira McTaggart's there, and it's a whole thing. So, canon,
right,
Connor.
Yeah.
All canon.
I suppose, I mean, can you name any good points for this movie?
When Magneto flips that truck, that's pretty cool.
Good. It's cast well.
Cast well.
Other than Vinny.
Yeah, other than Vinny. Even Vinny has a bit of charm to him, I think.
I think you'd get away with Vinny in a better movie.
Yeah, I think Beast. I really like Beast in this.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer's great.
There's very few out-and-out excellent points here, and which is a shame, because I thought I remembered this movie more fondly than I did.
Hugh Jackman is good.
Yeah, but he's Wolverine. Always good as Wolverine. Like, he's always baseline solid, except for X-Men Origins Wolverine, where he's a different character.
Yeah, oh yeah, completely. But then he gets shot in the head and we have to go back.
Yeah, so none of it mattered. We've been through
none of it matters.
Like, I guess the Dark Phoenix stuff that's in this movie, which in total is about four scenes, it conveys her power quite well, I think.
I mean,
for this version of it.
But it's also an absolutely shit movie trope to introduce somebody who can disintegrate buildings and humans and then never use it again.
That is true.
Because you want your cake and you want to eat it too. You're like, oh fuck, she's so powerful. She's disintegrating shit. And then it's like, but she'll never use it again because we want the action set piece at the end.
That's true, yeah. You create a character that's too powerful to use.
Mm. The Professor X. Because ultimately, he can never be beaten.
Yeah, he will shut down someone's mind or he'll make them forget that they're angry. All this kind of stuff. I don't know if it's the age, but like the CGI does not hold up for the most part.
Batman Begins is 2005, and that looks amazing compared to this.
Yeah. And like Lord of the Rings even still looks great.
Yeah. Like so, there's loads of movies from like the early 2000s that all hold up still that you can go back and watch.
So I don't like, I feel as a trilogy, this kind of sours the first two for me.
Is Spider-Man 2 or 4?
It might
be. I think it is.
I think it is.
So that means that came out a year before this. 2 years before this.
2 years before this.
And would you say the Spider-Man 2 graphics hold up? Graphics, CGI.
For the most part, I think they do.
Yeah, I think they do.
Like
train fight.
Train fight. It's something about train fights, man. I love it. Like, I genuinely cannot think of very many positive things to say about this movie.
Like, it doesn't advance anybody's storyline in a better way. It doesn't make anyone cooler. As much as it tries with Logan, he's actually probably less cool at the end of this movie. He's also a worse hero because he doesn't try to save the woman he loves. He stabs her for no reason when there's clearly a cure right beside him.
Yeah.
I mean, Halle Berry completely underused. Famke Jensen's also completely underutilized. She's there. She's killing it, but she only has about 7 scenes.
Doesn't get much to do, is the issue. No one gets much to do apart from Logan.
Nobody gets much to do because we always have to get to the next scene. Constantly.
Yeah. And you're right, it does fly by the hour and 45 minutes because so much has to happen.
Because we never sit on anything, ever.
No, there's never time to process anything.
I just remember watching this when I was younger, being like, when Professor X disintegrates, being like, that's it. Is that it? Like, he's dead.
He's just gone now.
Because at first Cyclops was like, don't tell me that's his death. Like, surely he's not actually dead. And then Professor X, I was like, wait, what? Yeah. He just killed all everyone's favourites.
Yeah, like, I remember watching it and being like, oh, Professor X died. God, this is like an hour and a half into the movie, surely. And then I looked at the runtime. And it's like, it just started!
Oh, we've already killed the two main X-Men!
I don't know what their end goal with this was, whether it was to just end it.
But I think feel it like, was.
I feel like there's too many weird little cliffhangers. Like, and maybe that's just them being like, oh, we could do more in the future. But like, they really left themselves a mess with this movie.
They just blew it up. I'm telling you, they brought in Ratner with a nuclear bomb and they're just like, fucking blow it up. We don't want to do this. We're going to do Origins. We're going to do all those Origins movies. We'll go back in time. We'll see what happens. But you can do whatever the fuck you want. Blow everything up. Because we'll just do a different timeline. So it's fine.
Yeah, we'll just fix it all later.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah, there's this great movie coming out in 10 years called First Class. And that's going to be great.
It's going to solve a lot of your problems, Brett. So, I mean, I don't even know what to give this in terms of our Weetabix rating.
I'd give it half a Weetabix with sour milk.
I'd give it, maybe half a Weetabix, but I have to eat it in 4 seconds.
Yeah. Because like, it's something I like, there's not enough of it, there's not enough time to enjoy it. And it's just, it's ruined by everything that surrounds it.
But I think that brings an end to this month's Lazarus Pitch, on.
I mean, it's been a month, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
So I hope everyone enjoyed listening to this review.
Movie I've seen this month.
I've not seen many movies this month, it seems. Batman came out this month.
That's what I'm saying, John.
Ah, I see. Good bit.
Way better than The Batman. What a shit movie.
Way better than Little Women that I watched on Netflix recently.
They came out like 2018 though, so I don't know if that counts.
Well, it's pretty good. Let us know what you thought of X-Men 3 The Last Stand, X3, whatever you want to call it. If there's any other movies you want us to talk about, leave them in the comments too. Preferably good ones. And we don't usually do the social things. We just usually thank you all. So thank you for your support. Having everyone on the Patreon really helps keep the show going. You don't even know, like, it's such a big help in the background for things. So we hope you're enjoying these episodes. We will be doing Moon Knight reviews when that's coming out. And we hope you're just enjoying the regular weekly episodes as well. They've been a lot of fun recently. So
I think so.
Yeah. So, look, anything you want us to talk about, any ideas you have for other things you'd like to see on the Patreon, message us, leave comments, emails, whatever. But mainly, have a good day, I suppose.
That's a nice way to finish it. Yeah, have a good day.
Yeah, so I have not been Connor Lawler. Who have you been?
I have been Sean Mean.
Oh, right. Have I been Wolverine? Am I the cool one?
I think you're too cool for school. Yeah, you're Wolverine.
Man. And you're James Marsden.
Oh, no. What a handsome man. Okay, bye.